Hallelujah. Can y'all hear me?
Test one, two.
Testing one, two, three. Hallelujah. There we go. How are we doing this morning? Amen. It's good to be in the house. Amen. Let me get this situated here. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for the prayer this morning. Watching. Amen. Believing. You got any believers in the house?
Yes,
amen. I hope so. You know that God is able.
Yes,
amen. Thank God for the worship. Amen. It's good to have my grandson and his lovely wife down. Amen. And the family with them. Amen. All the way from CDK in Bellingham. Amen. God doing some great, using y'all to make a difference. I'm hearing good things. Amen. That's awesome. Amen. The body just functions and operates like it's supposed to. Amen. Good to see all of you here this morning. Amen. You okay? You know I can't read lips. We've had this conversation a lot of times. Okay. She's reminding me to remind you that he's going to be speaking on the 15th. He's over there like, oh, why are you putting me out there like that? Amen. But we thank God. Like I say, making a difference. Making a difference in the kingdom. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you right now. Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you've given us, Lord. We can come together, Lord, and gather in your name and worship you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that it's you that gives us health and strength, God, in every measure. And we thank you for it right now, Lord. And we pray, God, Lord, as we receive your word, Lord, that it would speak to our spirit. Lord, and it would bring strength. It would bring change. Lord, it would allow us, God, to, in everything that we do, God, bring glory and honor to your name, Lord, as it allows us to be light and salt in the earth. Father, I pray, God, that you meet every need in this place. According to your timing and your provision, Lord, we trust you because you're a good God.
Yes.
I said you're a good God.
You're a good God.
You're a good Father, hallelujah. Yes. We thank you right now.
Thank you.
So we say, speak to us, Lord. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Say, greetings, Living Faith, LFCC, and all our guests, amen. We just thank God for being here. Hallelujah. You know, I thank him every time I come into the house. Amen. I say, every time, amen. Just like every time I pull into my driveway, I say, thank you, Lord. I thank the Lord for allowing me to make it back home. Amen. See, I try not to take anything for granted. Amen, because every day is a gift, every moment, amen, is an opportunity, amen, that he gives us, amen. So I thank him that we can come and we can worship together. I thank him to be able to be here and worship with you, amen, just believing that God's got a word for us this morning. Amen. Y'all ready to receive the word?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Amen. You know, we get to come together. But this morning, amen, I want to start by asking you a personal question.
Okay.
If you'll indulge me just for a few minutes, okay. just a personal question. Is that all right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to do it anyway, but you know, it doesn't matter. But, you know, have you ever been or are now have any personal debt? Let me see your hand. Just raise your hand. Keep your hands up. No, I want y'all just to look around the room. Amen. So you see that you're not alone.
Yes, sir.
Right?
All right.
You're not alone, amen, in having some debt. Amen. And see, we you know, the fact is debt has become a part of our society. Right?
Amen.
And here in America, amen, it's normal. Amen. It's become normal. It's the norm. that people have debt. You know, we use debt to get what we want. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Amen. We see something we want and we can't pay cash for it right now. So what do?
Charge it.
We charge it. We use our credit. Amen. And some folks' credit is not so good. I ain't looking at nobody. And some folks' credit is really good. Amen. I think credit scores run between what? 350 to 850, somewhere in there. And we fall some way in that realm. Amen. And that just, that says, what is your credit worthiness? You know, as a young man, I didn't know nothing about credit. You know, I will try to get this or that, and I just go and just take a shot at it and see if I get approved. I'm approved. If I'm not, there's some magic number out there that's telling them I'm not good enough.
All right.
You know, but I've learned a lot over the years,
yeah, right.
Amen, about how debt and credit works. And right now, I'm in really good shape, if I can say that, by the grace of God.
Amen.
You know, but it speaks to the lender about you. They don't know nothing about you, but they get online.
Uh-huh.
And they can take a look at, your credit worthiness. Amen. And it's gotten to the point now that everybody wants to see your credit.
Uh-huh.
I remember it was just the lenders, and now it's the insurance companies, and now it's employers. And it's getting to the point, man, you want to date me? Let me see what your credit score is. You know, I mean, it's getting to that point, you know. And I told my girls, when you want to date him, I want to see his credit report. You know, because it speaks about your history of how you manage your life.
Yes.
Amen. And how you handle debt, you know, which, like I said, has become a norm. It's become a measure of how good we are, or how, frugal we are, or maybe how bad we are with managing our resources, if I could use that word.
Uh-huh.
Amen. So debt is a part of what we do. Amen. So, the old adage, I owe, so. So y'all know it. You're going to work so you can pay your debt. Yeah, I owe, so off to work I go. You know, and this is what we do. We work to pay off our debt. Amen. And sometimes we'll even get we get so much debt, we'll get what they call a consolidation loan. Anybody ever done that? Don't raise your hand. Don't tell on yourself. Amen. But we'll consolidate all that debt to bring it down to one payment that we can manage, right?
Yeah.
And then we have a little extra money. So, but the same discipline you didn't have before,
right,
still exists. So you know you got the consolidation loan, and you racked up more debt on top of that debt.
Yeah.
Just getting deeper and deeper in the hole. Who going to deliver me from this debt? We all, amen, have had debt in our lives, amen. And see, that's one thing, amen, we know that when you go into debt, whether you're buying a house or a car and different things, or even going into debt to sign a lease for an apartment or whatever, amen, most of the time you got to enter a contract or some kind of agreement where you sign your name, and in that agreement there's terms, amen, and then there's conditions, amen, and there's this, when you get down toward the bottom, there's conditions of default, that if you fail to meet the conditions of this debt, there's
consequences.
Yeah. Amen. To you failing to meet your obligations. And a lot of times we get to that part and we just kind of don't even want to read it, just gloss over it. Because in our mind, I ain't never going to be in that. That's not going to apply to me.
Right?
Right?
Uh-huh.
In fact, I think I'll pay this off early.
Yeah.
You know, I think I can just pay this on, so I ain't even got to worry about that default stuff, right? But inevitably, it happens. Because you can't control all circumstances, amen, that may arise, whether it's, you know, whatever it might be, you can't control all circumstances. So, but no matter the circumstances, if you default, they have a recourse. Amen. That they have the option of exercising. And I say the option because sometimes, you know, there's grace. Right? And we like grace.
Yes.
Amen. He said, well, I'm not going to drop the hammer, but I'm going to give you 30 days. I'm going to give you 10 days. I'm going to give whatever. You know, but they can give you some grace. Amen. But at the same time, you still have an obligation to handle your debt.
Yes.
Isn't that right? Just look at somebody and say, we all got debt. We all got debt. Amen. And it's got to be paid. Amen. See, one of the things I learned about debt is when you sign that contract, say when I bought my car, amen, I signed an agreement that said, you know, I'm purchase price is this much.
Uh-huh.
Right? And maybe we put down that much. Which left the remainder of that much. And so in that, knowing I don't have the lump sum, so what they do is they say, okay, we'll figure out all the fees and interest that comes along with, you know, the ability to be able to get it now and pay later. Amen. So, but you owe so much per month. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Amen. See, so as long as you make the monthly payment, we good. See, so I paid my payment this month, so I'm no longer in debt until the 15th of next month,
right,
where I got to meet that next debt. So as long as I'm making the payments, as long as I'm making the effort, because I can't pay it all at once. I want y'all to remember this point. I can't pay it all at once, but as long as I'm making the effort that I agreed to make, I'm making those payments, and maybe I'm adding a little bit extra to it. Amen. I'm in good standing with the creditor. In fact, that looks good on my credit report because I'm able to make consistent payments. Amen. And I'm not making late payments. Late payments don't look good.
Right?
So we understand how that works. And say, now, why is he going down this road? Is this a financial class or am I in Sunday morning service? Well, I'm glad you're wondering. Amen. Why? Because I want to help us to segue from the natural into the spiritual. Amen. Because there's a lot of parallels that we need to see and we need to recognize. Amen. Because it's truly, you know, going to help us as we apply God's word. You know, it's always the spiritual than the natural, but we understand the natural. I love how Jesus, you know, he did. He would go and he would speak to the people, but before he did that, what he often do, he would feed them, right? Or he would perform a miracle. He would do the natural thing to get their attention and to draw their crowd, amen. And once he had their attention, he dropped the bomb on them. Amen. And he began to teach them spiritual principles. Amen. So we got some spiritual principles that we want to deal with on this morning. Amen. As we allow God to speak to our hearts. Thank you, Juan. You know, because truly, like I said, it's become normal for us to have debt. I mean, we're not surprised by that. Amen. You're not alone. Amen. We're in this together. Amen. But when you came and gave your life to the Lord, you entered into a contract with him.
Yes.
Or should I say, a covenant with him. Amen. And along with that covenant, there's terms and conditions.
Yes. Amen.
Mm. I thought salvation was free. It is. Amen. But he also desires to see us, what? Provoke into a good work.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Because, you know, he died on the cross. He saved our souls. Now he wants to put us to work in his kingdom. He wants us to operate, amen, in a way that brings glory to him, that our lives, our living, can be a witness to those around us. We become a part of his family. We become a part of his kingdom citizenship. Amen. So we should make a difference. We should be different. And they should see something different about us. So in order for that to happen, the Bible is full of instruction and teaching that shows us how to live this Christian life. Amen. Because, you know, out there, we didn't know. But when you come into his kingdom, he has a way of doing things. Amen. And he wants us to adapt and adopt those ways into our daily living. Amen. And this is what it means to live a Christian life, right? Amen. So that we can honor and please him in all we do. So today, amen, I want us to focus in on some of those conditions. And one of those conditions, amen, is of high importance to our Heavenly Father. Amen. That we begin to strive and apply in this area, this into our lives on a regular basis, on a daily basis. Tell somebody we got to do it daily. You don't even know what I'm talking about, but you're right. We got to do it daily. Amen. And the thing that really provoked me, you know, because I'm looking and, you know, as we've been going through this book by Francis Chan, amen, in the Bible studies on Wednesday nights, amen, this past Wednesday we began dealing with the issue of love in chapter 4. Amen. And we've talked about love many times over the years, you know, right? But, you know, it stirred me as I was preparing for it, and as we sat and went through the lesson, and then, you know, and then I'm at the office on here working on Thursday, the day after, amen, Pastor Linda comes in, and then she puts this sign up here, love. Yes. See, because we're dealing with love. I said, okay, you're just really driving it home, Lord. You want me? And one of the things she said, you know, I felt when I was sitting in the group on Wednesday, I said, this is something that we all need to hear. We all need to be a part of, but only a portion of us make it to Wednesday night Bible study, which is another issue all its own. When y'all don't make it to Wednesday night Bible study, y'all missing out. You know, so therefore, I'm bringing some of it to you on Sunday morning. Amen? Because, you know, it takes more than one. You know, let me say this. I just got to say this. I got another question maybe. How many of us can survive or would like to survive the week on one meal? I don't see no hands now. See, you don't even want to go 2 days without a meal. A day. Some of y'all will be hangry before I get finished. Must be a battery or something going on. Testing 1, 2. There we go. Thank you, Kathy Ann. Got my backup. That was a commercial break. Amen. So I want us to understand that as we're digging into this on Wednesday nights, amen, and I'm feeling like, Lord, everybody needs to get this. Everybody needs to hear this. Amen. So it just began to churn in my spirit. Well, you got Sunday morning. Amen. So let's take a look at the key verse that I want to begin with. Amen. On this morning, and it's a passage, and I'm going to point out the verse, and you'll probably catch it as we go through. Amen. And it's coming from Romans, the 13th chapter, starting at verse number 7. Where it says, render therefore to all their due, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and there's sometimes there's fear due. Amen. I'll say, wait a minute, what's fear? I'll get back to that later. Amen. Honor to whom honor. And the 8th verse says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That's our key verse, number 8. I'm going to read that one again. Owe no man anything. In other words, pay your debts. But he said, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, if you love everybody like God wants us to love everybody, you ain't got to worry about stealing and killing and lying and all cheat. Because why? You walking in love, and love says, I love you too much to do anything against you. I love you too much to hurt you. I love you too much to... Y'all get it, right? Okay. Y'all got it? So we can say the benediction. No, I know better. Amen. We got some more work to do. He says, the 10th verse says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. If I would just understand and know how to love and walk in love and practice godly love, amen, I will be able to fulfill the law of Christ. I'll be like Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Because he loved everybody. You know, I'm just thinking how Reverend Dawkins brought out at the lesson on Wednesday. He said, you know, in John 3:16, God so loved the world. I mean, his love was so powerful, so all-consuming, because the Bible tells us God is love. He doesn't just love. It's what he does. Excuse me. It's not what he does. It's who he is. Right? And I'm talking about being like him. So we get to that place that love is not what we do, it's who we are if we want to be like him. Hello. Talking to the body, isn't that right? So we look at this whole message. So the title of our message this morning, as you see, is I-O-U. I-O-U. Hello. Anybody ever receive an IOU from somebody? I hope it was good. They kept it. You know, someone like that. What's an IOU? What's that mean? That means I owe you something. And that IOU is a written agreement or acknowledgement that there is something, but it's between two parties that, you know, one owes the other something.
Yes.
Right? And when I read that passage and he says, owe no man anything but to love them, that tells me that love is an ongoing love. It's something that you can't really pay off. You know, when I think about the terms and conditions, amen, it's just like we're working on paying our debt. We got to continually working on loving one another.
Amen.
And when I love, amen, in every opportunity, I'm keeping up with the terms of my Christian agreement, amen, to be a loving brother, a loving sister, or whatever the case might be, amen, even to the lost.
Yes. Yes.
They should see a difference in me and a difference in you and how I love and how I walk out my Christianity as a representative of Christ. Remember, what's our theme for the year? Do y'all remember? Amen. Aiming to live as a Christian representative. That's our aim, right? Unless y'all gave up on me already. That's our aim, amen, is to be that. And sometimes, let's be real, we don't hit the mark. But what do? You don't give up. You reload.
Right.
Right? Get another arrow. Focus on the target.
Come on.
Control your breathing. In other words, calm down.
Yeah.
Huh? Be steady and purpose to hit the mark. That's what we have to continue to do. Amen. Because if we would do that, we will get better and better. You will become a Christian marksman with your love.
Right.
You know, I think about some of the marksmen that David had, amen, in his army, amen. And them men can shoot. They could hit a hare, which is a little rabbit, from a long distance away. It wasn't a problem for them because why? They were marksmen, amen. Their craft, amen. And see, we got, you know, in Christendom, we don't have enough marksmen. Hey, we don't have enough marksmen in this area, amen. But we got to take aim. Look at Romans 13 and 8 again in the Amplified Bible. You know, he said, keep out of debt and owe no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor, take note of that, who practices loving others has fulfilled the law relating to one's fellow man, meeting all its requirements. Meeting all the requirements. Leaving nothing on the table. The Message says it like this. Don't run up debts except for the huge debt of love you owe each other. The huge debt you owe each other. What? When you love others, you complete what the law has been after all along. Wow. Been after this all along to get us to this place. You know, and there's something I'm going to drop on you here in a minute. Amen. And then we see how it says it in the NIV. And I really like this one. Amen. It says, let no debt remain outstanding except. And see, I like it because it keeps driving home that this is one debt that you're going to have. Uh-huh. Amen. He says, except the continuing debt of loving one another. Continuing debt. That's why I say I owe you. No matter what happens. Amen. I owe you. No matter how much I like you, I still owe you. How much you get on my nerves? I owe you. Huh? And how much I just can't stand the sight of you.
That's all right.
I owe you. Right? If I'm a Christian.
Amen.
Uh-oh. See, we gonna deal with that a little bit, you know. If I really want to be like Christ, I have to accept this is a part of being a Christian, is I'm owing everybody love. And love is not a feeling. You know, even we was talking about it, because Pastor Linda asked me a question on the way here, you know, because I shared the topic with her last night. She asked me a question. She said, does love ever get depleted? And I thought about it. I said, nope. Because if God is love, and love can be depleted, that means God is not everlasting.
Right?
Now, I did say, well, what happens is we attach love to emotion. And we become emotionally depleted. So we feel like the love is gone too. Love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion. Love, my friends, my brothers and sisters, is a decision. Yes. It's an obligation for Christians. It's what we do, amen, to be like him. Amen. So we got to understand that when you feel like your love is run out, you just decided not to love. That's what it really comes to. I just decide I can't love you. Because of whatever the reason is. And, you know, believe, let's be real. We can come up with some reasons. People can give us reasons to not want to love them. But this is where we persevere. This is where we persevere and fulfill the law of God, amen, instead of yielding to the feelings and the emotions of our own hearts. You know, let me read on here. Because it's important that we understand. Amen. We understand what God is saying. In that end of that verse, he says, for whosoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Wow. Raise your hand if somebody has ever gotten on your nerves. I got two hands up over here. Come on. You know, I mean, now, see, because I want us to, you know, just take some introspection. I know there's people that we don't want to love. Even some family members that we just don't want to have nothing to do with. Right? And that's okay. As long as you understand the conditions of your salvation. Amen. It's just, now you saved. Now he has an expectation of you to be like him. Right? To love like him. Amen. And one thing I wanted to catch in that verse, amen, it says, your neighbor. Okay. Who's your neighbor?
Come on,
man. She pointed at Tom. That's your husband. And you got to love him, too, even when he get on your nerves. Yeah, but we got to understand, who is our neighbor? Every person on the planet is your neighbor. They might not live next door, amen, but they still your neighbor. Amen? See, because if you move to a new neighborhood, they all your neighbor, right? You ain't met them. You don't know nothing about them. You move to another country, all of a sudden you got some new neighbors because they all your neighbor. You don't know nothing about them people. Right? When we was in Africa, we had neighbors in the other rooms that I didn't know, but they was our neighbor. We had to love on them.
Amen.
So everybody on the planet is your neighbor. So he makes it very clear that he expects us to be loving to, everybody say it with me, everybody.
Amen.
That's a tall order, ain't it? Because everybody ain't necessarily, I don't even have to finish the question. I mean the statement, huh? But see, that's an erroneous statement. Let me say that again. That's an erroneous statement because everybody is lovable. But the thing is, we put conditions on our love. Right? See, because I don't care. Don't go there, David. But, you know, sometimes we can see people and we can see things, but somebody loved that person. How many of y'all ever heard of, what was his name? Jeffrey Dahmer. Raise your hand if you know who Jeffrey Dahmer was. Okay. He was a serial killer. Amen. He didn't just kill people. He had them for dinner. Huh? But how many of us would understand that God loved Jeffrey Dahmer? And not only God loved him, I bet you his mama loved him.
That's right.
Right? See, so, but we put a measure. How can you love somebody like that? Huh? Because the heart of love is not conditional. It just is. I choose to love. I choose to love. What they do hurts. I don't agree with what they do. I would never want to eat nobody. But we got to love. You know, because aside from that love, see, this is something I struggled with years ago because I had hatred in my heart. For my own father, I had hatred in my heart. I didn't want nothing. No.
Come on now.
Don't talk to me about him. In fact, I shared with Minister Amanda Wednesday night. I had so much hate. I would tell people, if he dies, don't call me because you're upsetting me. I'll be mad at you for calling me.
Amen.
That's how much
Lord, we thank you.
But it took God to change my heart.
Right.
And his word to change my heart.
You,
so I got to a place that I could call him and I could tell him I loved him and I forgave him for everything. Amen. Because of God's love operating in me. It broke that stony heart. Amen. Because of things of the past. Amen. But see what it was doing. It was holding me because he was going on with his life. Got a new family, new wife, new kid. And he going on and I'm just all stuck up. And I was, you know, but it was God that set me free. It was the love of God that set me free. And see, it's a decision. I had to decide, am I going to stay in this place?
That's right, Apostle David.
Because what he did, it was real. It was done. It was no going back and changing. But am I going to stay in this place? And I had to choose to release it. And I had to choose to act on that love. Right? See, so it works.
Amen.
I'm a living witness. It works. So when we do it his way, amen, because I owe that to him. It was an IOU that was just constantly in my face. I owe that because I'm a child of God. I owe that. I owe that. Amen. And if I wanted to live up to the terms of my agreement with God, I had to choose to love. Amen. So it wasn't about him. It was about me and God. Because God's saying, what you waiting for? What's the problem? What you holding? You know, so it was between me and God, and God helped me to get to that place. Amen. So you and I are indebted to love one another without ceasing.
Amen.
Without ceasing. When there's no right way about it. Amen. And you know, it might sound easy, but I'm telling you, it's not always easy. Amen. But it's always doable. It may take some, you know, some work. Amen. Because, and that's why I gave you the whole analogy. You got to work on paying that debt. You can't just, you know, because why? If you don't work at paying that debt, they're going to come with a tow truck and take your new car away. Repossess. Amen. And I don't want nothing to come between me and my God. Amen. I don't. Amen. So what am I saying? We as a family. Okay. Well, my family is this one. And now, no. One of the things that we talked about in our group, amen, is the fact that oftentimes when you really got this thing, like God wants you to have this thing, you feel closer to your spiritual family than your natural family.
Right?
Because why? You have things in common with your natural, your spiritual family. Your spiritual family got a good understanding, and your natural family, they can have some. Not to say that the spiritual can't. We're working on them too. But the natural family, you'd be miles apart in your understanding, in your expectations, in your lifestyle. Amen. But see, when we come into God's family, we are, especially us Gentiles, we were not born Jews. Amen. So we were adopted into the family of God, to become sons and daughters. And see, and when a child is adopted, that means that child was chosen. It wasn't, you know, oops. That child was chosen. We wasn't trying to get pregnant, but we got, no. We chose you. You were not a part of the family, and God chose us to be a part of his family. That means you're special. That means you're special, amen, and you're a part of that family. So therefore, if we need to get to a place to understand that we are all family. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ, amen, and we should be able to love one another like that. One thing I shared on Wednesday is that, you know, I had 6 brothers and sisters. I was number 7, the youngest. The oldest is sitting right over there, amen. And I would fight with my brothers and sisters. Yeah, but I see I had to stand my ground. I'm not going to let them run me over. Oh, no, even though they were bigger than me.
Amen.
Mm-mm.
Amen. Thank you, God.
I was stubborn. But, okay, don't stop, Pastor. But we would fight, and it was good. You know, we didn't have a problem. You know, we fight each other. But don't let nobody outside the family mess with one of us, because they got to deal with all of us, right? Because we the Jenkins, and you don't mess with the Jenkins. You know, they knew there was a lot of Jenkins. So by the time I got to middle school, and by the time I got to high school, I had 6 that went before me. So they knew when another Jenkins showed up, don't mess with the Jenkins, right? So I didn't have to fight much, huh? In fact, I think only one time I had an issue with somebody. You know, but what am I saying? Because your family got your back. And as the family of God, we should have each other's back. Now, we might fight and devour, and we might get on each other's nerves, but when it comes down to it, we should have each other's back. Why? Because we understand the love of Christ. Amen. And not only that, the Bible tells us to love our neighbor, but what does it say about our brothers and sisters, if I might add? Oh, my goodness. Then we got to dig a little bit deeper. Isn't that right? Man, because why? We don't want this thing to elude us. But we want to understand the importance, amen, of understanding, amen, what the word of God is saying. In John 13:34, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye love one also love one another. He said, in the same way I loved you, you are to also love one another. Now, did God wait for you to get right to love you?
Come on now.
Huh? Did he, you know, he sit back and wait for you to treat him right before he loved you? No. He loved us right where we was at. And he's saying, in the same way, that's what he's telling us. This is how we also should love one another. He said, but this, by this, shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one for another. He said, by your love, by your extravagant love, by your overwhelming love one to another, amen, it's going to set you apart and others will know that you are my disciples because of the power and the extravagance of your love. The demonstration of your love will be so strong and so obvious, they'll know you must be a Christian.
That's right.
Because of how you love. You love them. You go in with them. Amen. And see, it becomes an out loud witness. So I ask this question. When people see you and your interactions, do they see any difference? With that, your interactions, and I'm not just talking with just Christians.
All right.
Amen. But your demeanor, your character. Amen. All these things, would it speak to the fact that you are a very loving individual? See, these are questions that we got to ask ourselves, amen. When we see passages like this, Galatians 6, 9, and 10 says this, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Why? I always got to be the one. Is that right? You getting weary? You say, you just keep doing well. You just keep doing well no matter what. You know, because he says, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. In other words, don't quit.
That's right.
Don't get tired.
Yeah.
Don't get weary. But just keep doing it. And if you choose and purpose to just keep walking in the love of God, what do you think God's going to do? He's going to come along and give you the strength that you need.
Right.
Amen. He's going to come along, amen, and give you all the help that you need. Amen. Because you're doing what's right. Amen. You're not let. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the helper.
Yes.
Amen. To help us to be able to fulfill his word in this world.
Thank you, God.
Amen. When we pray what we've called the Lord's Prayer, which is the pattern of prayer, he said, thy will be done. What? On earth as it what? It's done. No, I believe there's some loving going on in heaven because Jesus, and you know, because that's where God resides.
Yeah.
Amen. His throne. Amen. So he said, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Uh-huh.
But that's got to be done how? Through us. Through us. Just say this with me. Let it begin with me.
Let
it work through me.
And
if we allow that to happen, amen, God will be glorified. Amen. And there'll be, you know, one thing we touched on Wednesday is when we love like he's talking about loving, amen, ain't nobody going to be lacking.
Come on now. Amen.
Amen. Right?
Amen.
Because if I'm loving, amen, and like God wants me to love, and I know my brother or sister has a need, amen, what am I going to do? Well, they need to go get a job. They need to learn how to handle their money. You know, those things might be true, but my love says, but they need some bread. I'm going to give them some bread. Probably some meat to go with it, some mayonnaise, you know, some lettuce, sliced tomato. You want some cheese with that? You know, we can make a real sandwich. Right? Because I love them. I'm not going to, you know, denigrate and down them and, you know, sit back and you know, just take my bed of ease and know my brother and my sister has a need. See, this is the place we need to operate because we know that's our brother, that's our sister. We are in the family of God. And because we're in the family of God, amen, this is how family does each other. Spiritual family. I'm not talking about your crazy family or mine. I'm talking about spiritual family. That's how we do it in the kingdom. Amen. Is we take care of one another. Isn't that right? You know, when we look at these verses, they speak to us, amen, about what's expected of us. Amen. And sometimes we don't like expectations. You know, sometimes we look and we say, you know, everybody is lovable as long as they meet my expectations. As long as they meet the conditions that I have in my mind, in my heart. But the scripture does not tell us to set any conditions. That's why, you know, when Jesus is loving on us, it's what's called in the Greek, it's agape. The word agape, which means unconditional love. Now, there's many other kinds of love spoken of in the scripture, but when he's talking about God so loved the world, that's the agape love with no conditions added. None. And that's the kind of love he wants us to operate in. Amen. And when we do that, he's pleased.
Yeah.
When we do that, amen, we too reap the benefits, amen, of operating in the love of God like he wants us to. In 2, verse 3 through 11, I want to read this passage, amen, in your hearing. Oh, bless little Luke, in the name of Jesus. And hereby we do know that we know him. Now see what it says? He's talking about by this, we know that we know God. He said, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Oh, say, where are you going with this, Pastor David? He that saith he knoweth him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar. Now, I didn't say that. It's in the Bible, right? Okay. He says, a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Wow. Now, loving is one thing, but for that love to be perfected? How many of us are walking in the perfect love of God? Let me see your hand. You say getting there, progressing toward. You're working on that. Okay, you got the Holy Spirit, right?
Amen.
You just listen to the Holy Spirit, you'll get there real quick.
Amen.
Right?
Thank you.
I say you get there real quick. He says, hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walk. In other words, if you say I'm in Christ, I should be walking like Christ would walk. So in that situation where you're struggling with the love, you should ask yourself, what would Jesus do?
Amen.
You know, WWJD. And he said, do that.
Amen.
No matter how you feel about it,
thank you,
just do it. He said, and when we do that, amen, we're walking in the love of Christ, not your love, because like you say, you understand, I understand that our love can be limited, amen, because we're not God, but we have the Holy Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit of God empowers us to be like God.
Amen. Thank you.
So if we would allow the Holy Spirit, you know how he say, to what? There y'all. See, y'all know. Activate, Holy Spirit. You got to tell yourself that sometime, Christian. Say, Holy Spirit, activate. Come on, daughter. You know, and when we do that, amen, our flesh has to step aside.
That's right.
Our emotions and feelings have to step aside. right? And we allow him to activate. Verse number 7 says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. See, we always call it a new commandment, but he said, this thing really ain't new. Y'all had this from the beginning. Amen? But it was laid out in the 10, but he's melted them all down to one. So he said, from the beginning, the old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and where?
In you.
Wow. Because the darkness is past and the true light is now shining. Wow. Let your light so shine. Amen. But when darkness comes, where is the darkness? Where is the darkness? We find the darkness. We find the darkness in our heart. Amen. And when we allow the darkness in our hearts, amen, it shadows our vision.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we can't see things like God wants us to see things because we've impacted our heart. We've connected to our heart instead of walking in the spirit. And he wants us to get to that place, amen, of walking and understanding, amen, so the light can shine. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until when?
Now.
He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. See, we're in the light. Light lets us know when the stumbling block comes so we can avoid them. And in darkness, you're stumbling all over the place.
Right,
tripping over yourself. Hello, somebody. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes.
Yeah.
But it crept into the heart first. And it blinds the eyes. So we can't see like God wants us to see. Amen. And love like God wants us to love. Amen. So we got to get to that place. I'm almost done. But I want y'all to hear what I'm saying. Love is our deliverance.
Yeah.
Because love delivered us.
Right.
Amen. From sin. It delivered us, amen, from a devil's hell. It delivered us, amen, from separation from God. And it brought us into a relationship with God. So we need to understand how powerful this thing is. 1 John 3:11 says this, for this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. 2 John 5, and now, dear lady, I am not writing, you know, when I looked at him and said, dear lady, I didn't go back and research why he said, dear lady. But maybe he's talking to one of us. The church is his bride. The church. And he says, and now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new commandment, but one you have from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. It's a request we see here. It's a command we see here. Amen. It's an I owe you. I owe you love. I owe you to operate in the love of Christ towards you. Not to withhold it. Not to, oh my goodness. Not to make you qualify. See, sometimes that's what we do to people.
That's it.
Is we'll make them qualify for our love. If you just do this, this, and this, then I love you.
Oh, help us today, God.
And if you do that consistently enough,
today,
I may give you a couple more steps to get a little bit more love. You know, wives make their husbands qualify. Husbands make their wives qualify. Brothers and sisters make each other qualify. But let me ask you a question. What did you do to qualify for God's love? I made the statement the other day, It was the Holy Spirit that dropped it in my spirit, but I made the statement the other day. The thing that qualified you for God's love was sin.
Oh, Jesus. Sin.
Your sin and mine is what qualified us for his love. And it's right there in John 3:16. God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He saw our condition was wretched. He saw our condition was one without hope. Our condition, one with a death sentence on it. And he said, I can save them from that. And he used his love. We was in a condition that qualified us for the love of God, that made us need the love of God to bring us out. Who do you know needs some loving?
Hallelujah.
Who do I know needs a little loving?
Hallelujah.
God is so good to us.
Yes,
you know, one of the things I share with them on Wednesday night as we were wrapping up, it's a passage of scripture I gave everybody to read and to do some personal reflection and ask yourself personally, how am I doing with this? How am I doing in these areas? Just you and that passage of scripture, you and the Holy Spirit. Anybody work on that yet? I hope so. But I'm going to share it with you this morning. I'm just going to back up a couple of verses because I want the full context. But in 1 John 4, starting at the 11th verse, he said, Beloved, if God so loved us, we are also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know. Know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. See, so we got all that, right? But then he goes on, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. In other words, if you stay in love, you stay in God.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
But when you choose not to love, you step out. Because this mindset ain't in God. Okay, so let me get back in God. And so herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. How many of you want to stand boldly before the throne of God, knowing you've done all that he wanted you to do? This is what he's talking about. Because as he is, so are we in the world. Let me say that again. Because as he is, so are we in the world. He is loving.
Yes.
He is more than loving. He is love. So what that passage is saying, we should be love in the world. I'm like, wow. There is no fear in love. I'm letting that sink in. See, because sometimes we hold back our love because we're afraid they might hurt us again. Fear says, don't trust them. Don't do it. Don't go there. So, but fear stops you. Look what he says. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear is torment. I don't want to be tormented. Amen. So he says, fear is torment. He that feareth is not perfect in love. And this is the passage that I gave everybody to look at. You call all of us. Amen. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, what's it say? Y'all read that again? He is a liar. Who's he lying to? Himself. Why? Because the love of God overrides your feelings. Amen? The love of God overrides your fears when you allow it to. Amen. It said, for he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And in this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Amen. I owe you to love you. Amen. No matter what. Let me say that again. No matter what. I think about Brother Stephen when he was being stoned to death. Father, forgive them. They're killing you. And you praying for them. That's love. You're concerned about their soul. That's love. We can do this. Amen. When we really step in and understand the impact, the magnitude of what love can do, the transformation that love can bring in the body of Christ and thereby the world, when we walk in the kind of love that the scripture teaches us. We got to be mindful one of another, loving one of another, trusting him on every hand. The last verse I want to read to you is in 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the end of the commandment is charity, which is love, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. My faith is not wore out, not raggedy, if I can say it like that. My faith is strong. Amen. I want to have a good conscience toward God and toward all men. Amen. And the only way I can achieve that, in spite of who they are, what they do, what they say, how they act, is I choose to love them. You know, and sometimes you gotta be willing to suffer wrong, as the scripture teaches us, for what? Righteousness' sake. If I want to walk in the righteousness of God at all times, sometime you got to go through some things.
Yes.
But you choose to stay in love.
Thank you, Jesus.
You choose to operate according to the contract, the terms and conditions of being light and salt in the earth. That person that's doing you wrong might need some light.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the Lord brought them to you.
Yes,
so you can shine light on their darkness.
You,
but if we get dark with them, we ain't no help to them. But we walk in the love of God and realize that he also, we got a good father. I just can't help. He said that vengeance is mine.
Yes.
If they're doing you wrong, I got your back. You just do right. You just love them. Like my word says, love them. Just love them. You know, one of my terms, amen, might bother some of y'all, amen, but we got to get to the place that we love the hell out of them. Just love them and love them and love them. And love them some more. No matter how they talk about you. No matter how they mistreat you, love them. I remember this young man that was serving with us in California. in the church. He was in the Navy. And we was at a little package store one day. You know, and I'm standing there talking with him, and he was going through some things with his wife. He wasn't very tall, small, chief, like I was. And we were standing there talking, and his wife was taller than him, larger than him, you know. And we was talking, and I seen her car come in the parking lot. And I already knew that they was going through. So I'm like, okay, and your wife just pulled up and said, all right. So we stood there talking. He was next to check out, and she walked into the store. In front of everybody in the store, it was obvious she was upset. And she stepped in front of him. I'm standing right there. She stepped in front of him, cleared her throat, and spit right in his face. In front of everybody in the store. Now, some of y'all might think, well, he must have dropped her right there. No. He went just like this. Reached and got his handkerchief, wiped his face, and continued the conversation with me. That's love. That's self-control. Huh? Now, how many of y'all wouldn't have passed that test? Don't raise your hand, but I'm why do I even say that? Because when you got it on the inside, when you really got it on the inside, and I'm going to say this, and I mean this, it doesn't matter what happens on the outside. See, we're so worried about what's happening on the inside that we're missing it on the inside. We're so busy defending this flesh. When this flesh is going to burn up with the using, we're so busy defending this flesh, amen, that our soul is in jeopardy.
Amen.
I want us to get this, y'all. I want us to purpose to love like Christ. That person on your job that's getting on your nerves, that you've been staying away from because... See, you're going too far, Pastor David. Show them some love.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Ah, you mean I got to show them some love? Be the light in their life through the love of Christ. Because, you know, we are out there to be his light, to be his representatives. Amen. We come together to be strengthened and fortified and sometimes reminded of who we are. But then we go out there to be the light and to be the salt. And when you do it, God got your back.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, God got your back. You might have failed the test this week, but you got another week. Got another opportunity.
That's right.
And you got a purpose to go after it. Because when you do, you're upsetting an enemy's plan.
That's right. Amen.
You're upsetting him, amen, because he wants you to stay laid back. And, well, if they come, then no. Love is what? An action word. The Bible said what? Pray for them that use you. Do good. What's that? No. It's not in your mind. He said, do good unto them that despitefully use you. He's talking to us. To do means action. To do means purpose. To do puts it 100% in our court. It's not how they respond. It's what you do. Because you're not doing it as unto them. You're doing it as unto God. Being that light, being that salt, being that representative, walking it out. Amen. This is what God has called us to. Let's stand. I pray that you hear my heart. And more than that, I pray that you hear the word of God and allow it to set you free. And that freedom means I don't have to worry about the things I've been struggling and worrying about. I just got to walk in the love of God. When it comes to people, God died for them. So if he died for them, I can at least love him. Right? He's not asking me to get on the cross. Some of y'all might say it feel like it. But he's not asking you to get on the cross. He's just asking you to love him. Just be loving. And when you do that, you may win some to Christ by your example, by your love. That's what God is calling us to. So I invite you to the altar this morning. If you're struggling in the area of love, hallelujah. If you know you need to be more loving, I want you to come. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Everybody needs love. Right? Everybody wants to be loved. Even Jeffrey Dahmer wanted love. Huh? There's a lot of confused people in the world. You know, but love can break strongholds. Love, true, genuine, Christ-like love is what God is calling for. In our hearts and our minds. See, God loved us. It was his love that delivered us. It was his love that brought us out. It's his love that is sustaining us even now. Hallelujah. Some of the things that we've gone through or we're dealing with, it's the love of God that keeps us going. It's that love. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come before you right now. Lifting up your name. Father, and I pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters that are up here at the altar with me. And those at the seats, God. You know each of our hearts. You know the things that the enemy has deposited in our hearts, Lord. Reality is, God, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know everything that's befallen us. Lord, and you know the defenses that we set up to protect ourselves rather than putting our trust and our confidence in you. Help us, God. Help us, Lord, to let down the walls that stop us from loving others like you want us to love. Help us to let down the walls that stop us from being loved like you want us to be loved, God. Remove every barrier. Every stronghold, every mindset that stops us, God, from being able to operate in the purity of your love, to receive the fullness of your love in our daily living, God, that we might be able to share it with others, God, because we can't do this on our own. It's the love of Christ flowing through us that you're asking us to release to our brother, to release to our sister, to release to the lost. That same love, God, that saved us can be effective in the lives of those around us. If we would just allow it to flow through us. Help us to drop our conditions. Hallelujah, that we want people to meet. Help us to step out of fear, God, that stops us from being loving because we don't know what the outcome is going to be. If I go to them, they're just going to reject me. No, they're rejecting the love of God. But you continue to be the conduit. You continue to let the love flow through you. In every situation, we need your help, God. So I pray for those that come, Lord, as they're looking in their own hearts, in their own minds, their own circumstances. You know, and we ask you right now to meet them right where they are, God. Meet them right there. Let him feel your love. Let him feel your strength and your presence. Lord, and when they step out, I pray, God, that you lead and guide them by your Spirit. Hallelujah, that you word their mouths, God. And Lord, that your peace that passes all understanding, would rest and rule upon us, God, as we operate like you call us to operate. Not in fear, not in doubt, not in weariness or wanting, but in faith, trusting that we are doing the will of God, because you said this is your will, that we will be loving, loving in every circumstance, loving. And when we give love, when we sow love into the lives of others, I can't help but believe, God, it's going to come flooding back to us and from places we know not of, because you're just that good. You said, give and it shall be given. You know, and we believe, God, that you said it would come back, pressed down, shaken, overflowing. You were really talking about love. So we thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you for your grace and your gentleness towards us. Help us to walk according to your will as we strive to be your disciples, God. As we just strive to be your representatives as we go to and fro in the earth, showing everybody the love of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want you to say with me, I surrender.